Dear friends, thank you so much for being with us. We're ready to begin our lecture. Welcome to our conference systems of the Quetzalcoatl Cultural Institute. Today we're going to see a very interesting subject that we will seek to explore in more deep. This is the esoteric Gnostic content found in the Sunstone, better known as the Aztec calendar. This stone is very interesting because in it, science, philosophy, art, and religion are united in a masterly and extraordinary way. It goes without saying that those who carved this sunstone were truly wise, enlightened people, people awakened in full consciousness. They succeed in giving in this sculpture knowledge of archaeology, anthropology, science, psychology, astronomy, and anthropogenesis. And above all, in addition to all the science gathered here, they succeed in masterfully showing the path which should lead us to the final liberation. We can therefore see here, my dear friends, written on the stone, the path leading to the light, to the truth for he or she who has ears to hear, hears, and who has eye to see, sees. In accordance with our spiritual level or level of being, we will be able to understand the profound teachings locked in each figure, in each symbol of this extraordinary and wonderful stone that our ancestors left us. Here we are shown the story of humanity. Here are the forces and influences that governed us. Here is the path that we must take to finally put an end to our suffering and pain. This is all that is found in this marvelous stone, the sunstone. At the center of this extraordinary sunstone, we can see Tonatiuh. Tonatiuh translates as the bright, the one who warms. It is certain that all the ancient people of those eras or age of splendors, those eras in which the human sacrifice did not exist, where psychological defects did not exist, those ages where the path on which one walked, the human being was not erroneous. These ancient people tried to show and express in a manifest way the unmanifest, the being, the divinity, God, the great architect of the universe, the creative demiurge, the Elohims, the Prahapatis, Sat, or whatever we want to call it. The masters, to be able to represent it, referred to what they had close to them, and many agreed to give the attribute of the sun to the divinity. They took the characteristic of something that was part of their environment and came close to it in order to be able to explain intangible principles like that which has no name, the divinity, that which has no shore, that which cannot be defined. And the sun is therefore a good example. It gives us warmth, it gives us life. The sun illuminates us, the sun warms us, and therefore is very similar to this aspect of our being, of the intimate and of divinity, because it gives us wisdom, because it gives us love, because he shows us the path that leads us towards the light. They therefore associated the divinity with the sun. Tonatiuh is the sun god, the representation of the word of Saint John. He represents the golden child of alchemy. He represents the eagle who descends, the dragon of wisdom. Yes, he represents all that. That is to say, our father who is in secret. That which has no name, no shore, ever, no limit. This about which we cannot say anything because we will distort it and take away the essential, that is to say, the truth. It is Tonatiuh, the creator, the mirror of the universe, the word who creates the all in the first place, says John the Evangelist. In the first place, the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and without him nothing that is could have been done. This is why it appears decorated with the verb of Saint John in the Nahuatl manner, wonderfully symbolizing the aspect of the divinity here in the symbols that we will now decipher. We'll start with the tiara. We see two circles. We have this crown, which represents Keter in the Hebrew Kabbalah. Keter, meaning crown, which means that which is highest. Because above the crown, there is nothing. There is what is higher. The tiara, or diadem, located in the upper part of Sanatius' face, therefore represent the Ancient of Days. The Aztec viewed the deity not as primarily male, as in most parts of the world, but as dual, that is, masculine and feminine at the same time. Which means that every symbol that we see here on Donatiu, on this deity, on this sun god, located at the center of the Aztec calendar, will have the attributes of the deity. Thus, among the Aztec, Ometecutli, Omecihuatl, who are the lord and the goddesses of duality, represent the divine couple from which all the gods among the Aztecs descends. Ome meaning two, Tecutli meaning lord, and Sivati, lady or goddess. From this divine couple come the four Tezcatlipoca, the four divine lords of the creation of the entire universe. We therefore speak of the Father who is in secret, and of the divine mother, Kundalini of the Orientals, or Isis among Egyptians. If we have God as Father represented wisdom, we must have his counterpart, his complement. And this is God, or the divinity, in the feminine aspect, the mother, meaning or representing wisdom. Wisdom and love are the two main columns which must support the entire temple. So we have God as Father and God as Mother, represented by these two small circles, which means that every symbol that we see here on Tonatiuh, on this deity, on this sun god located at the center of the Aztec calendar, will have the attributes of the deity. Between these two circles, we see an extraordinary symbol, a symbol that we can see in all the peoples of the world, in Teotihuacan, city where the men become gods. The pyramids of the sun has four bases, and these four bases of the pyramid of the sun in Teotihuacan represent the very same tetragrammaton. The sacred wheat tetragrammaton is the deity. This name comes from tetra, which means four, and gramma, which means letter. Four letters of mystery. This Hebrew name, as it is writing in the very ancient Bibles, represent the name of the divinity, the famous Yod-Heh-Vav-Heh. These are the four Hebrew words, Hebrew letters, to designate the name of the divinity. This is where the sacred number 4 comes from. We observe it here with three eagle's feathers, and above these three eagle's feathers is a pearl, which adorns this extraordinary sign which shows us the sacred number 4. Why are there three eagle feathers decorated with a pearl? Because they represent the Trinity, that is to say, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, Keter, Chokmah, and Binah in the Hebrew Kabbalah, or Shipik Kakulha, Raksa Kakulha, and Kakulha in the Popol Vuh of the Maya, also known those three entities as Brahma, Vishnu and Shiva for the Orientals. They are the divine triad. Where does the divine triad come from? Well, it emanates from that which has no name, from that which has no shore, from that which has no root. It is the root of matter and spirit, but which is neither matter nor spirit. This is what we call in Gnosis the Absolute. That is what we call in Sanskrit Sat, or That, because nothing else can be said about that. Therefore, the unity from which everything emanates, and the Trinity, which is the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, are the 3 plus 1, which give us the sacred number 4, the sacred tetragrammaton. And it is this symbol which is represented here in this drawing, which appears in the tiara. This is why there are 22 arcana of the tarot, 22 major arcana, because 2 plus 2 give us the number 4, and the 4 represents the divinity, the truth. It is for this reason that this wonderful symbol appears here on the tiara. Then, under the tiara, we can see his hair of yellow color. He's blonde, because he represents the prana of life, the Christic energy, the wonderful solar energy through which we can connect to divinity if we let learn how to transmute it. Let's remember the myth of Samson. He loses all his power when his hair is cut. In the ancient Kabbalah, when a woman was impure, when a woman was adulterous, to punish her hair was cut. The energy of the solar logos is found in our creative energy, in this energy which gave us life, which is why the hair we see here representing it is yellow. Around the eyes we see some wrinkles, and it is very interesting that Tonatiuh is represented as an old man, as an elderly person. An elder, because among the Aztec, the elderly persons were sacred. Nowadays, it's quite the opposite. We put our little old people in asylums or retirement homes because we don't want to take care of them. We forget them most of the time. Among the Aztec, this was not at all the case. The elderly people were sacred. Besides, there was the Council of Elders, which was a supreme authority among the Aztecs. Nothing existed above them. It was the elder who decided everything, and the kings and priests had to obey and accept their decision. The decision of this wonderful council, that was the Council of Elders. Because the elder is synonymous with wisdom, with knowledge, this is why Tonatiuh appears here as an elder. It is he who knows everything. Who knows everything, who sees everything. He has the omniscience, that is to say, all wisdom. This is why we must ask for help from our Father who is in secret, from our innermost, from a spirit, every time we have to decide something, every time we have a problem. We must immerse ourselves in meditation, in silence, because that is where we can meet our Father, and he knows everything, he sees everything. He has all the knowledge, all wisdom. He can help us and guide us on the right path. This is what the wrinkles we see on his face represent. The eyes of the Father form the sacred symbol 8, which means that he sees everything. Nothing escapes him. Nothing escaped the Father. In truth, every thought, every feeling, every action is monitored by a Father who is in secret. We think we can escape justice. Yes, we might be able to escape earthly justice, but we can never escape divine justice because we carry it inside ourselves. This divine justice is found within us. Within us, and our Father watches over everything we do. We buy something in a store and we get the change wrong, giving the cash, back wrong, giving us more than we should receive. So we say nothing. We live as if nothing had happened. Well, the Father records all of this. Every lustful thought, every negative thought, every emotion, everything is watched over by our Father who is in secret. He is the one who possesses all wisdom. He knows all knowledge of all things, and it is to him that we must go for help. This is what this part of Funatu represents. We see then a very interesting symbol, the nose. It has a double symbol, three eagle feathers on the left side and three eagle feathers on the right side, this to represent the famous Seal of Solomon or the Star of David. The Star of David is formed by two triangles, one which point upwards representing fire or man, and the other which point downwards representing water or woman. The two joined together form the Seal of Solomon. It is an extraordinary symbol. The ancient Kabbalist and the ancient alchemist said that the columns of demons trembled in front of this symbol. It was a symbol of protection, but of course, you have to know how to understand it. When woman and man unite by love, when a woman and a man are united by this marvelous substance of the fire of love, nothing can defeat them. No one and nothing do them any harm, any evil. And there we see the relationship between the nose, the air, the breath of life, and this wonderful Seal of Solomon. The writing of Tibet and India, in the tantric schools, in the mystery schools of supersexuality, show us that this supersexuality is in close relation with the breath, the respiration. It is for this reason could not be missed by the number 6, which in the Hebrew Kabbalah represents the lover, which indicates that we must learn to transmute our energies. That we must learn to transmute our creative energies. This is what this nose, or this Yakaksiwitl of the god Tonatiuh, show us among the Nahuatls, used with this symbol. Then, a little further down, we have something really very interesting again. With this tongue, which comes out of the outside or in this shape of a flint knife or tech paddle, the materialistic anthropologist, enemies of the eternal, say that this tongue represents Tonatiuh's appetite for human sacrifice. This is a truly stupid conclusion and very far from reality. The tongue here means that the divinity has created, is creating, and will continue to create all that is, all that has been, and all that will be through the world. This is why Saint John declares, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God, and the Word was with God, and without him nothing that is could have been done." Do you realize what Saint John says? In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. It is therefore not surprising that in the Nahuatl way, this is represented here by this tongue. Among the Hebrew, we have Sabaoth. Sabaoth is the Lord of armies, the Lord of the army of the boys. This is why among the Aztec we also have these symbolisms on the tongue coming out, outside in the shape of a flint knife, to represent the power of the Word, because everything was created in the beginning by the Word. If we read the Genesis of the Popol Vuh, it says, "And then they spoke and the universe was created," referring to the first gods. So let us not be surprised to see Tonatiuh here with a tongue to represent the power of speech, the power of divinity through speech. On this tongue we can see clouds. Why? It is to show us the power of the word if we want to unite with the divinity. Some declare, yes. Some people declare, yes, I accept Jesus Christ. Yes, of course, I accept God in my life. But those are just words. Words blown away by the wind. That's all. We must do actions. We must take actions that unite us with divinity. We declare, yes, I accept you, Jesus Christ. I accept you, my God. But we hit our children and our spouse. We mistreat them. We say harsh and cruel words to them. We do not bring enough money into harm so that harmony exists. So, by doing this, are we doing the things that bring us closer to divinity? We don't do anything at all. If we are students and we do not study, if we do not fulfill our duties as sons, if we do not fulfill our duties toward our brothers and sisters, if we do not fulfill our duties as parents, fathers, mothers, or citizens, how do we want to get closer to divinity? This tongue on which we see the clothes shows us that the word has a lot of power. The divinity created by the word. So, if we want to unite us with divinity, if we want to take a small step to unite with that which has a name, we must be careful with our speech. We must not say bad things. We must not curse. We must not speak harsh words. We must not speak by implications. We must not tell lies. This is all difficult, but it is the path shown to us here. We also see an eye on this tongue, an eye with a small eyelash. This shows us that we have to be very careful about everything we say. We have to be very careful with our words because they form geometric figures all around us, and they are what attracts circumstances into our life. If we want to be successful in a business, we must be careful with the word, with the words we use. James the Greater, the elder, said, from a source crystal clear water cannot come out at the same time poisonous water. Either the water is crystal clear or it is envenomed. We want to walk on the right path. We want our mantras to work in us. And at the same time, we tell lies. At the same time, we make stories. We carry rumors everywhere. We criticize others. In this case, what power can our word or speech have? This is why we must watch ourselves. We must be attentive. This is why we see on this tongue, in this shape, of a flint knife of Tonatiuh, this eye, to show us the importance of meaning, of the self-observation that we must have with our words, with our world. Thus, we will be able to walk on the path of divinity. Three things separate us from divinity. The Father is truth. If we lie, we separate ourselves from the Father. The Son is love. If we hate, we separate ourselves from the Son. The Holy Spirit is the power, and if we abuse our creative energies, we separate ourselves from the third logos. This is what all this represents. A little further down, we can see a necklace made of precious stones called Chalchihuitl by the Aztecs. This wonderful necklace symbolize the virtues of the soul, the virtues that we must develop within ourselves. Patience, humility, diligence, love, joy for the good of others, all these virtues of the soul that matters and make us true humans. Nowadays we are inhumans. We are people with 97% error in our psyche. And sometimes even 98% or 99% psychological defects. But each psychological defect destroyed gives birth to a virtue, a precious stone, a jewel. Do not think that it was out of pride that this knowledge or precious stones was offered. No, it was a symbol of all this work that had to be done, and in this case of the virtues that we must develop in ourselves, of creating to bring us closer to that which has no name. This is what this precious stone necklace represents. Then we see earpieces. It is very interesting because they show us that we must learn to listen to the voice of the Father, the voice of the Divinity. This is what the Master Blavatsky tells us in her book, The Voice of Silence. This is exactly that, the voice of silence. The Father does not communicate, does not get in touch with us through voices, and whoever hears voices, we can consider him or her crazy, because these voices that we can hear in our head are not the voices of the Father. No, they are not the voices of the intimate. The voice of the Father, or the voice of the innermost, is manifested in crushes, by intuitions, by hunches. These intuitions are messages which come from the higher worlds and which we must learn to listen to. We must stop listening to our minds because it is because of our minds that we persevere in misery and suffering. We must learn to listen to our heart. We must listen to the voice of the innermost. And these large hearings that the Aztec put, like here on the god Tonatiuh, these gigantic hearings indicate to us that we must learn to listen to the word, knowledge, gnosis, that we must listen with heart, that we must live it, and not just theorize it. We must not only read tons of books, we must study with our heart. And that is precisely what these hearings we see here tell us. We can still notice the sign of the tetragrammaton. Once again, we have the circle, which represents the absolute. And from this circle descend the three primary forces of nature and the cosmos to manifest themselves in creation. This is what the hearings of god Tonatiuh represent. As we can observe, each symbol of the god Tonatiuh is a symbol of an attribute of the divinity. These symbols give a master class in divinity to us who have a false idea of what divinity is. It is very often believed that God is a little old man sitting on a throne above the clouds, who sends lightning and thunder to the poor humanity handheld. We have in fact anthropomorphized God. Anthropo meaning man, morphos meaning form. We gave him the form of a masculine, of a man, which means that we did not even see the masculine and feminine aspect of the deity. In fact, we walked the path of bitterness by having these false ideas about divinity. It is therefore worth delving deeper into this Nahuatl wisdom to learn a little more about everything that surrounds us and directs us. All around Tonatiuh, all around the verb of St. John, all around the symbol of divinity, here on the Aztec calendar we see the cosmogonic ages or eras, the eras that preceded us, because it is obvious that we are not the only race that exists and that existed on this planet Earth. Ancient races, human races, did in fact exist in our planet, and this is shown to us by the pyramids, by the gigantic constructions that we see in Peru, in Mitla, in Oaxaca, in Mexico, and in several parts of the world. This indicates to us a technology much superior to ours, to that which we have today. Other cosmogonic races, human races, therefore, existed, and the Aztecs represented them by suns, by the legend of the five suns. This is what the Aztecs tells us. We see the sons of the first sons, Ocelot and Tonatiuh, represented here. By Tonatiuh in the center and all around, we see the Olin symbol, or the symbol of movement. In each of these small squares, symbol of the movement, is represented the symbol of a previous race. We, in Gnosis, call them the Polar race, the Hyperborean race, the Lemurian race, and the Atlantean race. Each of these races had the period of splendor. We, at this time, form the entire humanity. We are forming the fifth race, the fifth human race. We are the sons of the fifth sun. And we are about to perish, as shown on the Aztec calendar, by fire and earthquakes. We have just studied the first circle where Tonatiuh is located. We will now study the second circle where the eras, or the cosmogonic epochs, are located. We will study each of these symbols to give us an idea of the purpose we have here on Earth, since it is obvious that we did not come to Earth only to be born, to grow, to walk like little donkeys, to reproduce like little animals, to grow old and die. No, that is not at all the goal of our life. By studying the whole history of the world, we can understand that we come into the world with a mission. This mission is the self-realization. It is harmoniously developing all the latent faculties in the human being. Our mission is to find the truth. That is our goal. We will therefore study this second circle of the Aztec calendar. We can observe that on either side of Tonatiuh's face there are claws crushing human hearts. It is certain that if we study, for example, primitive masonry, we will be able to realize that they speak of the salutation of the claw. Salutation of the claw is represented here by these claws which crush human hearts. In this case, the heart represents the human patience, lust, human pride, anger, and all those passions that flood human being. The symbolism of these claws which crush human heart signifies the death of all passions and sins, of the one who is a candidate for initiation, of the one who wants to walk on the path of truth. If we truly want to walk the path that leads to truth, we must undoubtedly put an end to our human patience. We must destroy all the unwanted psychological elements that we carry within us, because these are not accepted on the path. Weak people who are always advocating peace and love, who meekly declare that one should never get angry, but who in reality do the complete opposite of what they say, are not on the path that lead to the truth. Here we need an eagle woman, an eagle man, knights, Aztec knights, an Aztec tiger knight, a woman or men. We need decisive and courageous actions. People with true will, or with Thelema, which is the name given by the Gnosis to this true willpower, who want to fight against themselves, because the enemy is not found outside but inside ourselves, my dear friends. We are our own enemies. That is why we must crush these human hearts, indicating the death of our faults, the death of our passions. That is what this shows us. This is why at Chichen Itza we can see tigers devouring human herds or eagles devouring human herds. This is very significant. We need psychological death. We need to put an end to our passions so that our innermost can devour us, so that the universal spirit of life can devour us. This is why we observe here, once again, the I, psychological self-observations. We tend to observe others, don't we? And we are very strong, very skilled for that. But it is of no use. It makes us weak. What we must do is direct our attention toward ourselves, toward what we really are, towards our attitudes, our actions, our thoughts, our emotions. We must observe our inner world to discover what we really are. At this very moment, what are the faults that are manifesting in us? Perhaps laziness, mental pride, absent-mindedness, perhaps, or some other flaws altogether. Are we really paying attention? Are we really observant? Are we paying attention to the lecture, the teaching? This is psychological self-observation, and we must practice it every moment of our life. We could not kill our human patients, we could not end our psychological defects without self-observation. We must direct our attention within ourselves during our everyday life, non-stop, every moment. At school, at work, at home, during meals, in the street, when we walk. We must be alert and vigilant, like a soldier during war. So we'll be able to discover ourselves. We see then three circles surrounding the wrist of the clothes, which represent the three factors of the revolution of the consciousness, the three factors which can transform us. We are not talking about evolution, not at all. The evolution has its limit, and after the limits begins the involution, or devolutions. We are talking about a revolution. This revolution is being born, transforming our creative energies. By transforming our creative energies, the revolution is dying. That is, disintegrating of psychological defects. And the revolution is sacrifice for humanity. We then see five eagle feathers, and this is deeply significant. These five eagle feathers indicate to us the law. He or she who wants to enter the path must be an exemplary father. Does not abandon his or her children to walk on the path of initiation. Not at all. That would be a contradiction in terms. We cannot enter the path of truth if we are not a good father, a good mother, a good citizen, a good student, a good son, a good brother, or a good husband, or a good wife. No, my friend, it is necessary to walk this path with righteousness. The five represents the Kabbalah. In the Kabbalah, karma. It's Rigel. It's Mars. Which means that we must follow the law if we want to walk on this path that leads us to the truth. The four squares around Donatiu show us the times when the previous races were destroyed. Now, let's talk about each one of them. The fifth square represents the Jaguar's son. The Aztec call it Ocelotl Donatiu. Ocelotl means Jaguar, and Donatiu, son. It was also called Nawi Ocelotl, Nawi meaning for an Ocelotl, tiger, or Jaguar. We can notice the four circles representing the date for and the Ocelotl, or Jaguar, representing the Jaguar's son. The ancient wisdom, the Anahuac wisdom, During that time, this race was devoured by tigers. The tiger among the Aztec was the symbol of wisdom, which means that this human race, this ancient human race, did not degenerate. Each race passes through four ages. the Golden Age, the Silver Age, the Copper Age, and the Iron Age. During the Golden Age, everything belongs to everyone. There is no yours and mine. There are no borders or wars. During the Silver Age, spiritual things faded a little, but the universal cosmic principles continued to govern. During the Copper Age, borders appears, wars too. Yours and mine appears too. People get angry with their neighbor, for example, because he took fruit of his garden. The Iron Age is the age we find ourselves today. Maximum degeneration is represented everywhere. There are the four ages through which all races normally passes. But the son of the first son, the sons of the first race, which we call the polar race in Gnosis, did not degenerate. It managed to transcend this law. It managed to remain pure. All the individuals of the polar race were self-realized beings. They did not possess psychological defects. They had embodied the innermost. The wisdom manifested itself in them, and it is for this reason that it is said that they were transformed into tigers of wisdom, that they were devoured by tigers. This polar race existed in the Aztec Aztlan. This is land exists today, but it is of course in the fourth dimension. Moctezuma wanted to go to this island and ordered 60 elders magicians to go there. These elders transformed themselves into animals according to traditions and managed to go to this land of elders, to this wonderful primitive place of the first human race. It was 300 million years ago that the human race still existed in the higher dimension of nature. The Earth's crust did not yet exist, the physical crust. Then we have the son of the wind, Ehecatl Tonatiuh. Ehecatl being the god of the wind, and Tonatiuh the sun. The son of the wind, therefore. The drawing we see here represents the mask of the god Ehecatl, the god of wind. Anahuac traditions state that this human race was destroyed by violent hurricanes. The word hurricane means the divine breath, the divinity. They also incarnate the divinity. The inhabitants of the second race, the Hyperborean race, did not degenerate either. The Aztecs say that they were transformed into monkeys to climb the trees. The monkey representing, in this case, intelligence, and the tree symbolizing the tree of life. The tree of life is our being in all its manifestation, which means that these individuals incarnate each of the part of the being, each of the manifestation of their own inner being, each individual, each person of the Hyperborean race. This second race also manifested itself in the higher worlds of consciousness. There is no physical vestige of this second human race, which developed in the North Pole, which is why it is called Hyperborean, since Hyperborean means towards the north. So, this is why we say that wisdom does not only come from India, nor from Mexico. This wisdom comes to us from the north, because our fathers who preceded us come from the north. The inhabitants of the first human race were on the sacred island of Aztlan, and the inhabitants of the second human race were living on a horseshoe-shaped land all around the North Pole. Then came the third human race, the son of rain and fire, Kiawitl Tonatiuh, from Kiawitl, which means rain, and Tonatiuh, which means sun. This race, which we call the Lemur race, degenerate unlike the first two. The Lemur race had its era of splendor its golden age 25 million years ago. Everything was marvelous. It was a paradise, an Eden. Truly, the human being was in the fourth dimension and lived in bliss. Adam represents the millions of human beings, male human beings, who existed in this continent, in this race of Lemuria. It was precisely at this moment that the division of the sexes occurred, which took place for millions of years, because at the beginning, the Bible tells us, Adam was man and woman at the same time, and it was only afterwards that the separation of the sexes occurred. And this separation took place in Lemuria, which means that Eve represents the millions and millions of women of the Lemur race, and Adam, the millions of male beings of the Lemuria race. Unfortunately, that was when we ate the forbidden fruit. We were told, do not eat this fruit, but we still ate it, tempted by the tempting serpent of Eden. The tempting serpent of Eden is the animal version, and the apple, as many will have already guessed, is a sexual symbol, which means that we misuse our sexual energy, we misuse sex, and this happened 18 million years ago. This is the time of the fall. This is when we were expelled from Eden. We have left the fourth dimension to enter this three-dimensional world where we still live. We have been in this physical world for 18 million years, and we have not progressed. We are getting worse. The Nahuatl sages state that this Lemur race was destroyed by rains of fire and earthquakes. It is a reality. Earthquakes and volcanoes destroyed the Lemur race for 10,000 years. The beings who did not degenerate were transformed into bears to be able to save themselves from the massacre. This transformation into bears is very interesting because if we study Mayan culture, we do not know at all what these beings became. They disappeared. Some say they left for lack of water, but there is no sign of this. Others say that there was an epidemic of plague and that everyone died, but there is no proof, no trace of this plague. The corpses and bones were never found. The fact is that the Mayas disappeared. They entered the fourth dimension in Bolivia. Likewise, a city of Lilliputians also entered the fourth dimension, and this makes us understand this great leap. Beings who succeed in self-realization, who did not degenerate, entered the fourth dimension. They managed to save themselves from this massacre, from these degenerations which raged in the Lemuria race. Then arises this race called the Son of Water, or Atunatiuh, from the word Atl, which means water, Atunatiuh, Sun. For the date, we once again have the number 4, 4 Jaguar, 4 Wind, 4 Rain, and 4 Water, also called Nawi Atl, which means 4 Water. Nawi meaning four and Atl meaning water. It was Atlantis, the marvelous Atlantis, which of course had its golden age of wonders and splendors, but it also degenerated. After many years of splendor, this human race degenerated. It fell while dabbling with deadly sins. Its inhabitants fell into cannibalism and black magic. Then came the universal flood. This is what this Aztec calendar tells us. The fourth race was destroyed by water. Those who escaped turned into fish, which means that we must learn to use our creative energies to be able to save ourselves from the destruction that awaits us. Atlantis was destroyed by the universal flood. This is what is written in all the peoples of the earth. Next comes the earthquake sun. This sun is represented by this same tone at you. The first sound is represented by the jaguar. The second sound is represented by the wind. The third sound by the rain. The fourth sound by the water. And the fifth sound, all in tone at you, by the earthquake, or now in tone at you. The fourth tremor. We are the sounds of this fifth sound. The sound of movement, the sound of earthquake. We will be destroyed by the fire and by earthquakes. And we can see today that there are more and more earthquakes in the world and that volcanoes are becoming active. The symbol of movement that we have here with the four squares, the semicircles with the clouds of tone at you, the four points which are the number, always give us the number four. The four movement, the four tremor, the four earthquake, and also show us all the previous races that precede us. Then we have the four cardinal points found here together. The east is in relations with the god Tlaloc, god of water, the god initiator of life and fertility. It is also where the start of the journey of the sun is found. In the west we have Xalchivitl, the goddess who collects water in sacred wells. In the north there was Mictlantecuhtli, the god of death, power and strength. In the south there was Xochipilli, god of agriculture, song, love, and his name means the principal of flowers. Each cardinal point was in relation to a god. The east or the orient, where the sun was born with the god Tlaloc. The west, where the sun sets with the goddess Xalchivitl, goddess of rivers and seas. The north with Mictlantecuhtli, the god of death. And the south, Xochipilli, the god of love, song, and joy. They are the symbols of each of the cardinal points, and in the middle, in the center, we have tone at you. In the upper right, we have Setepac. Se in Nahuatl means one, and Tepac means obsidian, which is a volcanic glass that the Aztec used to make knives or spears points as well as mirrors. The ancients built many things with obsidian. So the Setepac represents the north where the Mictlantecuhtli is located, which means the place of the dead. Mictl meaning dead and Tlantecuhtli place. This is where the dead are found, where the Lord of Death is found. Mictlantecuhtli, whom we have just seen, this is the north cardinal point. This stone, this obsidian, also represents the mysteries of the birth factor. First factor of the revolution of the consciousness, showing the work of the raw stone. This is what this cardinal point shows us. We then have the symbol of the east, which is very important because it is Xiuhuitzoli, which is a funerary attribute. It is, in fact, an attribute that we put on warrior who die. We place it in their tomb to remind us of the death of the self, the death of the psychic aggregate. If for the first cardinal point we were talking about birth, here we are talking about the dying factor, which is the destruction of our defects. In the east was Tlacopa, which is the place of light, because it is in the east that the sun rises and begins its journey into this house of the sun, when all those who died on the battlefield. What the Nahuatl poems tell us is really interesting, very interesting. They tell us that if the shield with which we went to the battlefield did not have holes made by the arrows of our enemies, we could not see the sun through them. These are truly esoteric poems. In fact, those who die on the battlefield, that is, those who disintegrate their psychological defects, those who die within themselves, those who succeed in overcoming the psychological aggregate in their life, will therefore, in the house of the sun, To the east is Tlalocan, the paradise of Tlaloc, since we have said that the east is in relation to the god Tlaloc. Then we have the south represented by Cehuihuitl, Ce meaning one and Quihuitl, rain. It is the place of Huitzlampa, the place of thorns, the place of self-sacrifice. The self-sacrifice is the work we must do to perform, to move forward. And don't think they were piercing their tongues with the spears. Of course not. It was in no way a question of violence against their psychological body. Their physical body, sorry. No, this simply represents that we had to pay attention to our word, to speech. Likewise, don't think that they pierced each other's penises either. No. It simply represented domination that we must have over our sexual passions. That is how self-sacrifice was represented. The salt, the place of rain, of beneficent rain, that which gives life to all creation, this is why it represents the third factor of the revolution of consciousness. This is how the three factors of the revolution of consciousness is represented. And we see in the west we have Chicoase Ozomatl. Chicoase Ozomatl, meaning seven in Nahuatl, and Ozomatl mean monkey, the seven monkey. The west is where the sun sets, where the sun dies. It is where Xihuatlampa is located. Remember Ometecutli and Omecihuatl, the Lord and Lady, the Lord and Goddess of Duality, that we spoke about at the beginning of this lecture. Well, we have again the term Xihuatl, which means woman. Xihuatlampa therefore means the region of woman, the place of woman. The Aztec wisely represent woman who could die in childbirth. Women who died in childbirth went to Xincalco, the corn house located precisely in the west, and the Aztecs were absolutely right. When a woman lives life and dies during childbirth, she gives her life so that a life can be given. This gives her an incredible dharma. That is why this woman goes to Xincalco, a sort of paradise. Moreover, this is where this famous Mexican legend of the mourner comes from, La Llorona. The Xihuateto are women who die in childbirth and therefore have great dharma because they gave their life to give life. Number 7 indicates order and balance. If we talk about the three cardinal points, which represent beer, dying, and sacrifice for humanity, the seven chavos balance. The seven chavos that we must have a balance in the three factors of the revolution of consciousness to be able to move forward with a firm and determined walk, step on the path that leads us to the truth. Dear friends, we are called to open the codices of Anahuac. We must learn the wisdom of our Lord Quetzalcoatl, and we invite you to continue to deepen the knowledge of this wonderful wisdom that the Aztec calendar gave us. The images of the conference that we have just given comes from the book made by all the instructors of the Quetzalcoatl Cultural Institute, which you can download from our site. Its title is The Mystical Message of the Sunstone. This book contains an entire bibliography of all the books of Master Samael Aumbeor. Dear friends, we have just seen the first part of this conference. We have seen barely two circles of the Aztec calendars, the circle of Tonatiuh and the circle of the cosmogonic eras, as well as the four cardinal points with the claws of the eagle. In the next lecture, we will see and study the 20-day wheel, and it's truth very interesting, speaking about the path. Thank you so much for being with us.